This day we're gathered here to observe pictures of the return of Jesus. We want to be there to meet him. In the air, it sounded the trumpet. This is not talking about what is commonly called the rapture. We will return to earth. If you'll turn to Revelation 5:10, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on earth, which shows this is where we'll be teaching, is here on earth. If you'll turn to Isaiah 30, and starting in verse 20, we'll read that in 21. Isaiah 30, 20 and 21. And though the Lord gives you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet your teachers will not be moved into a corner anymore, but your eyes shall see your teachers. Verse 21. Your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it, whenever you turn to your right hand or wherever you turn to your left. We're destined to be those teachers as kings and priests to our God. Now turn to Revelation 2:10. Do not fear any of these things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison, that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. The crown of life is what I want to talk about. The crown of life is mentioned twice in that exact context in the Bible. The other time is James 1:12. We'll turn to that later. The word crown is in Strong's 4735, Stephanos. It's Stephanos. It is a mark of royal or exalted rank, the wreath or garland which was given as a prize to victors in public games. And Strong's 2222, word for life, is Zoe, which is spelled Z-O-E, the state of one possessed of vitality, live or quickened. This same 2222 is also used in Matthew 7:14, where it says, straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leads unto life, and few there will be that find it. I wanted to read a little bit from an article by Mr. Robin Weber from February of 2011. That is titled, I Will Give You the Crown of Life, under the subheading, Our Destiny of Wearing a Crown. Before that day arrives, let's consider our destiny to wear crowns as children of God. God has destined you to wear a crown. The prophetic declaration of Revelation 5:10, speaking of those who have been redeemed to God by Christ's blood, says it all. You have made them into kings and priests for our God. They will rule on the earth. Just imagine for a moment, God is molding us as his spiritual jewels into a display of his glorious rule over the nations. We have not been selected for such position through force of arms, popularity, or cunning, but because we've been chosen by God's grace to such divine inheritance. Upon full awareness of such an honor of divine selection and future reward, we surrender our personal kingdoms in the here and now, so to speak, but it comes as a present cost for each of us, bearing a crown of thorns. Why is this crown of life to be desired? The second resurrection is a good thing for those who have never heard the truth. The first resurrection is a better resurrection because the second death has no power over you from that moment on. You will have the crown of life eternal. Up to that time, we can lose our crown of life. If you turn to 1 Corinthians 9, in verses 24 through 27. This is from the New Living Bible translation. Don't you realize that in a race everyone runs, Paul stressed, but only one person gets the prize. So run to win. All athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away, but we do it for an eternal prize. So I run with purpose in every step. I am not just shadow boxing. I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. Otherwise, I fear that after preaching to others, I myself might be disqualified. So this means we can become disqualified and lose the crown. And we are not once saved, always saved. Turn to Jeremiah 17, verses 9 and 10. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Verse 10, I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. God will know our hearts before we are given the crown of life. Go to Revelation 3, verses 11 and 12. Revelation 3, 11 and 12. Behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast that you have what you have, that no one may take your crown. Verse 12. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and I will write on him my new name. You can't quit. You can't give up. You can't decide that you'll never be good enough. In Galatians 6, turn there, Galatians 6, 1 through 5. Galatians 6, 1 through 5. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Verse 2. Bear one another's burden, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For each one shall bear his own load. So we are the author of our own salvation. No one else can do it for us. We can help one another, but we can't do the salvation, you know, for somebody else. If you'll turn to 2 Timothy 3, we'll read verses 1 through 7. Verse 1. But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, and unholy, unloving and forgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Verse 5, having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from such people turn away. For of this sort are those who creep into households, make captive of gullible women, loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts, always learning but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And we know a lot of people like that. And we are currently in these times. I mean, look around you, everything is happening. People are becoming more and more self-centered. We've got to make sure we don't get caught up in the spirit of the times. Many are not interested in hearing the truth because they think they already have the answers. Even people I work with, they see it and they comment on it. I hardly can go a day without the same people commenting on what's going on, saying, "Well, God, well, Jesus got to come back." Well, that's true. Sometimes I just wish they'd ask about this game or something. But maybe someday they will. In the Marines, you are told to never retreat and never give up. If you could not handle the discipline of being a Marine, you were kicked out. And boot camp was the easiest time to be let go. I didn't see many people be kicked out, but I mean, no one wanted to be humiliated like that. I mean, it's just a sign of failure. You went there because you wanted to be a Marine. Not everyone was really Marine material, but sometimes recruiters need to fill a quota. Now, as in the Marines, there's no way I could have went back home and looked my dad in the eye, who was also a Marine, and tell him I couldn't make it. There's no way that was ever going to happen. I had to beat out other recruits who may not have had the same drive, but I just couldn't face defeat. So how much harder would it be to tell your Heavenly Father you didn't make it, you didn't fight hard enough? If I had to fail at one of them, I would have rather failed in the Marines. But since I made that, I might as well make this. But it's just something you got to really stay focused on. In the Marines, we had what we called pugle sticks. I really love pugle sticks. We'd have a contest, and we'd have a contest with the other battalions, platoons, and we're supposed to go by tallest to shortest. I was actually second tallest. But the tallest guy was one of them that wasn't really Marine material. He shouldn't have been there. My drill instructor really wanted to win the first match. So he told him he wasn't going to go first, and he told me I was going to go first. And he just said, "You will win." He didn't say, you know, if you try your best and that, still lose, it's okay. No. No, he said, "You will win." And, of course, all I said was, "Sir, yes, sir." Because in boot camp, you started with "sir" and you ended with "sir." It's just the way it was. And I knew I was pretty good at pugle sticks. So I really wasn't too worried. I'd already sized him up, and I thought I could knock him off pretty easy. And so losing wasn't even in my thought at all. And when I'll describe what a pugil stick really is. It's just a long pole. I don't really know how long it is. But I know you have two grips. They're about shoulder width apart. You hang on to them. And then they're padded on each end. And you and the person you're fighting has football helmets on. And when they blow the whistle, basically you attack. And person I was up against, of course, was about my size, probably close to my weight. I was a little taller than he was. As soon as they blew the whistle, I just went crazy on him. And you got to. You got to be fast. You can't hesitate. And he hesitated. And I hit him 3 times. That's all I had to do. He went on the defensive immediately, which is never good. If you got to start protecting yourself, you're in trouble. You got to be the one doing the swinging. And it wasn't very long, and he was laying in the water. See, I didn't like my clothes being wet, so I really didn't want to lose. Because that's the only way you lose. You got to go in the water. And it was called the Bridge Over Troubled Waters. And he never hit me one time. But so I thought maybe we could have a picnic out there at Natural Falls, and we can go over that bridge that's over the water, and we could have pugil stick fights out there. I thought that would be kind of fun to do that. We also had another, we called it Field Day, and there's different events. And we had this big medicine ball. It was probably taller than I was. Just huge. And you had to qualify for it. You know, they asked what events you wanted to do. Well, the sprints obviously were out for me. But I thought that sounded like fun. So to get qualified for it, they said, all right, everyone line up and start doing push-ups. Well, that seems easy enough, so I'm doing push-ups. And the drill instructor's saying, you, stand up here by me. And he calls out about enough people for a team. And I'm thinking, I wouldn't have picked him. I wouldn't have picked him either. I just couldn't figure it out. And then he said, all right, stop. He says, all you still on the ground, you're on the team. So we did. Well, we didn't realize he's picking out the weak. So it was a fun game. They put that ball in the middle of the football field, 50-yard line. One guy on your team, one guy on the other team were already there. The rest of you are on the goal line. And when they blew the whistle, you took off running. And you just collided on that medicine ball. That was fun. Well, their team was a little taller on average height. And we weren't paying attention on keeping the medicine ball on the ground, and they got it up on the ground, up in the air, and got it over our heads. Well, it got down to about the 5 or 10 yard line before we could get back in front of it. But we kept pushing and pushing, and we moved it back another 5 or 10 yards, and then the whistle blew because our time was up. But our drum instructors were really happy because they said, "You guys didn't quit. You." Even though they got it over you and was rolling the ball down there, you guys still fought to not let them score and defeat you. And we probably would have beat them if we hadn't screwed up like that. We didn't let them do that again. You always have to have jumpers jump on top of the ball so it'll keep it down. And that's what we need to do here. We can't allow us to quit. We have to have that same kind of drive as you view the race to the end to gain the crown of life, which cannot be compared to any earthly achievement or gain. We can't quit. We can't give up. We may experience minor setbacks, but we have to move forward to the time of the trumpet sounds, the return of Christ. That is when the crown of life will be granted to those who were called, chosen, and faithful. We are called and we are the chosen. God needs to know that we are also be the faithful. If you turn to John 15:20, John 15:20, remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they keep my word, they will also keep yours also. We're facing times even more perilous than what they are in now. How will we make it through and not give up when times get hard? We must set our hearts and minds now that we will endure whatever it takes and whatever comes our way. Up to verse 18 says, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. And in John 16:1-2, it says, I tell us some will even be kept out of church and killed by those who think they are doing God's service. That's basically saying what the first two verses are in 16:1-2. They'll be thinking they're doing God a service by doing these things, even killing people. In verses 3 and 4, it says, and these things they will do to you because they have not known the Father, nor me. But these things I have told you, that when the time comes, you may remember that I told you of them. And these things I did not say to you at the beginning, because I was with you. This happened to some in the early church, and it will happen again. Christ has warned us, so we will not be caught off guard when it happens. Before the New Testament was even finished being written, some of them were being kept from services by others who claimed to also be Christian. Our persecution very well could come from others who consider themselves to be Christian. We seem to be fast approaching a time when judging is the most hated word on the planet, and you are judged to be unchristlike if you judge certain things to be a sin. It'll be the ones who say don't judge me, but they'll be the ones doing the judging. You turn to Revelation 22, verses 12 through 14. Verse 12, and behold, I am coming quickly. My reward is with me to give to everyone according to their work, or his work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Verse 14. Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. And then a couple more scriptures here. James 4:7. James 4 and verse 7. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And then James 1:12 is the other scripture that had the crown of life. It says, blessed is the man who endures temptation. For when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. So we just need to remember that times will get tough and may seem unbearable, but we just have to never quit, never retreat, and never give up.